don't know you, but I feel such a weight of God's presence. I think we need to stay in His presence. We need to catch whatever His heart is going to tell us this morning. But stay in His presence is so important, isn't it? Well, this morning, I am talking about the fact that we are all called to heal the sick. All right? So it's part of our series on the kingdom. We have seen that when the King comes, salvation, freedom, healing, restoration comes. So this morning I'm focusing on one aspect of the kingdom, which is healing. Notice, I will deliberately not teach about all the theological position about healing. All right? Because it's not because I'm shying away from it and think I can't do a good job. No. It's actually, honestly, I don't think it's necessary. And I will demonstrate that to you, I hope. Okay? You see, one of the most obvious manifestations that Jesus the King has come on earth is that everywhere He went, people were healed. Right? Then you read later on in 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says that his preaching of the gospel is not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know that verse, right? That was not a new idea. That was following Jesus' model. So the apostle followed Jesus' model, which is actually, I'm not trying to convince you that Jesus is real Jesus. No, I am demonstrating He's the King. So that's what we meant to do too. So you see, Jesus, full of the Spirit, went around healing people. The apostle, full of the Spirit, went around healing people. So guess what? We, full of the Spirit, are called to go around and heal people. Wow. Okay? Now, the kingdom of God has come and is ever increasing until we see the full display of His glory, and there's a full regeneration of heaven and earth. That's the trajectory, folks. That's where we are. That's the bus we are on. All right? Now, first point, you could change my slide. Thank you so much. Jesus is the healer. And He's in the business of healing. I'm sure I'm going to go very fast because I'm sure you are all convinced. Who is convinced that Jesus is a healer?
Amen.
Right, there's a lot of people convinced. But if you're not sure, I'm going to give you a couple of verses. And try to highlight for you maybe things that are not that obvious. There's more than 40 verses in the gospel only that says that healing was one of the characteristics of Jesus' ministry. And there's a little sentence that I absolutely loved that really jumped out in my eyes a few years ago. And it says, He healed them all. He healed them all. He went there and He healed them all. Wow, He healed them all. No one is turned away with Jesus. Sometimes Jesus healed in a small context. Sometimes in large crowds. Often He was on entire villages. But He went and He healed them all. Everybody who came was healed. There was one time where Jesus' ministry was not, you would say, as effective. It's when He came to His hometown. You see, they saw Him as the carpenter's boy. Oh, that's the carpenter's boy. So they didn't come to Him for healing. However, it says, and we forget that, we so often quote half of verses, which is really interesting. In Mark 6:5, it says, because of their unbelief, He couldn't do any miracles among them except to place His hands on a few sick people and heal them. So even in a place of unbelief, where Jesus' ministry was kind of limited, He still healed them.
Amen.
It still demonstrates healing.
Amen.
Because He is the healer. That's His heart to make you well. Amen. That's His will to make you well.
Amen.
Okay? So Matthew 9:35, Jesus was going around all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That's what the Bible says. Every. Jesus Himself described the signs that the Messiah had come by saying in Matthew 11:4-5, go back and report to John what you hear and see, you see the demonstration of the kingdom. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Those were the markers that the Messiah had come. Acts 10, verse 38. So even later on, they say, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
That's the that's what written after. Guess what? Jesus is our perfect model.
Hallelujah.
So we've seen in another bit of this series that he lay aside his divinity. You know, for a long time when I was young, I thought, oh, that's okay for Jesus. He's healing because he's God, right? But actually, he laid that aside, because what he did when he was on earth, he learned to walk in obedience with the Father, full of the Spirit. He was demonstrating us. He was giving us the model how to do it as human, how to follow his full step. So he demonstrated how to live full of the Spirit in intimacy and dependency with the Father, knowing that all authority had been given unto him for the mission. All right? That's how Jesus went around to do the healing.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew 10 and Luke 9, there's a little bit of a turning point in the gospel, and I really like that bit. When Jesus turned around to the 12 and said, all right, you go and do it, I'm busy, just go and do it. And who has seen The Chosen, the series The Chosen? Who has seen it? You're going to wave your hand, obviously. It's an hilarious bit in The Chosen, because the disciples are like, what are you saying, Jesus? You're not coming with us? And then they start arguing. Like, I don't want to go with Peter. He's so annoying. And I don't want to go with him. And we disagree. And this one is a zealot, and I'm a man of peace. And, you know, and they... It's hilarious in this Chosen, but the point is, they were like us. They were completely ordinary. They were like, well, it's okay to see Jesus doing it, but now we've got to do it. How? They didn't understand one. But the bit there is, God said to them, I give you the authority over sickness and impure spirits.
Hallelujah.
He told them, I gave you, so go with confidence. And guess what? For them, it was probably baby step at first. And we know that, because later on they come back and say, wah, we prayed and it worked. So we know that, you know, they were not perfect and they didn't have all sorted out. Okay? But look at the progression. See the journey of the disciple. Then later on you see in Acts 5, verse 15 and 16, that people brought the sick and laid them out in the street, so that Peter, on his way to the temple, would pass the street and his shadow would heal the sick. It's in there. Look at the progression. He didn't even pray. His shadow was healing the sick. How about that? And then another time, there was an account where Peter saw a beggar and said, well, I'm really sorry, I don't have any money, but what I have, I give you.
Amen.
So, you know, stand up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was their normal. It had become their normal. In Acts 19, verse 12, I love that one, Paul's handkerchief was so saturated with God's presence that he would heal and deliver people. So he would be like, oh, I can't go there. Oh, here's my handkerchief. The handkerchief would go, poof, healing, healing, healing. I mean, that's crazy stuff, no? Does it not sound crazy? Right? What would it be different today? The mission is the same. We preach the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom is at hand, that the king is in town, not only to save, but as well heal and deliver.
Amen.
That our salvation can be complete.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus came and died on the cross for our full restoration. Okay? And you know, I could go into, yes, Matthew 8, 17 says that he took all our infirmities and bore our disease. Okay, Isaiah 53 was forecoming of the Messiah coming, and he said, by his wounds we are healed.
Amen.
The cross is more than salvation.
Hallelujah.
It's a lot more.
Hallelujah.
So guess what? We are called to heal the sick. Healing is a normal expression of the kingdom, and healing should be part of our normal Christian life. All right, now, one of my favorite verse, I think, to explain how healing works is Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. So I'm going to spend a tiny bit more time here. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. That's your theology, folks. Here it is. What do we do about living? Just look at this verse. This sign will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I know it's complicated. I know there is mystery. I know we can wrestle by why I'm not healed now. Why have I prayed for this person and they're not healed? I know it's complex. I know. And we must undermine that complexity, and we must care for the people, right? But I know there's a couple of things that are for sure. Okay, and I'm going to try to unpack that a little bit. Now, this is the sign that will accompany those who believe. Okay, this is not for just a few people who have a lot of faith, or for the man of the hour, or the man of faith. It's for everyone.
Hallelujah.
Who believe Jesus is the Son of God this morning and died on the cross for us?
Hallelujah.
Who does it this morning? Would you put your hand in the air for me? Wave a little bit more. It's more exciting than that. Yes. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
So these are the signs who accompany those who believe. It's for you. You believe. You believe enough. You believe enough.
Hallelujah.
Right. I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. It's just strange. I was 4 or 5, and I'm very privileged, I know, to have been brought up in a family that really believe in Jesus and believe in him and miracle, right? And 4 or 5, I would regularly, my mom would often be sick and not well, but it was my normal reaction to go and say, "Oh, Mom, Jesus' name, amen." I mean, with the little that I had. And my mom would get healed. My mom would get healed. She said, "Several times you prayed for me as a child, and I would be absolutely instantly healed." Right, I had no qualification. I had no understanding. I certainly don't understand the theology at all. I could speak, but you know. It was just, this is my little belief, I just put it in action.
Hallelujah.
It was that.
Amen.
It was that. Because Jesus has got to do the healing, right?
Beautiful.
It's not about me. Jesus has got to do it. All right? Now, that's my second point. The first one is, everyone is qualified. Because everyone, if you don't believe in this room, come and see me afterward. You can believe. It's for you too. Woo!
Sorry.
That's a sign. Okay. So, if you don't believe, it's for you too. You can believe. Today, you can believe. All right? Now, the second point is, even if you believe, there's an action that still needs to take place.
Amen.
The verse is, these are the signs who will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people,
Amen.
And they will be healed.
Amen.
There's something for you to do. Your faith has to spring you into action.
Amen.
Faith that does not result in an action is dead faith. You can read that in James.
Amen.
In every area, if you say, I trust God, but I don't give any money or I'm not generous, you don't trust God. That's not true. Faith goes into action.
Amen.
If you say, "Jesus, you're the healer," but never pray for healing, that's not logical. Yes? So faith in action. I believe I'm going into action. Genuine faith will always have an active consequence. Okay? I believe that the number one reason we do not see healing enough these days is because we do not pray enough for the sick. That's the main reason.
Amen.
We are not pursuing it enough, so we don't see as much.
That's right.
Okay? We are not acting upon our faith.
Hallelujah.
And often we're not doing that. Guess why? It's because we're a bit scared. We're scared to look like fools. I'm honest. I'm scared to be looking like a fool when I don't pray. So ultimately, we make it about us rather than God, right? Because we're scared about how we're going to look. And literally, our faith in God, our belief in God is not big enough for overcoming that.
Amen.
That is the point, isn't it? So there is a dynamic here about faith and taking risk into action. That's what will give us more healing, I believe. Now, very important point, and this is a sticky one, okay? Notice the emphasis on the believing is on those who pray here.
Yes.
We're not going to go around and say, well, you're not being healed because you didn't believe.
That's right.
That's completely wrong. Because what you're doing, you're just shaming people, you are judging them, you don't know their heart. The emphasis there is those who believe. Those who believe, all right? So we do not go around saying, well, you didn't get healed because you didn't believe. Because guess what? This is completely unbiblical. We know in the Bible there's example of men of godly faith who were never healed. Can you give me an example?
Paul.
Could you give me another example? Timothy. He had an upset tummy, and he had to live with that and so much that at one point Paul wrote to him and said, maybe you should drink a tiny bit of wine so you feel better, you know, and digest. So, okay. So it happened in the Bible. Sometimes men who are godly, women who are godly, sometimes don't get healed. And that's the mystery, right?
Amen.
Clearly, the other point that I would like to make is clearly there's something about faith that moves people, that moves God.
Amen.
What Jesus did in the Bible when he talks about faith and people, it's often he honors the individual's faith. So he went and said, oh, your faith has healed you. Wow, you came and you believe and you grasp your healing. So he honored the faith. You know, it says in Mark 5, 34, he said, daughter, your faith made you well. So what he did is honor them.
Amen.
When they had faith, he saw it and he honored them.
Yes.
Okay? And it's still, faith is very important. Like in Hebrew 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. So something clearly happened when we believe and we seek him. Okay, so faith is important. I'm not to blame faith. But the responsibility of faith is on those who believe and gonna lay a hand. Okay? Now, I actually looked a little bit more because I'm thinking, this verse is coming to my mind. So I digged a little bit more in my Bible, right? And I looked at Jesus. Jesus healed people with great faith. He healed people with little faith. He healed people ungrateful who never came back and said thank you. And when he said, because that's the one who sticks in our mind because we have such a view of a punishing God sometimes. So the one who sticks in our memory say, oh, man of little faith. You know that kind of verse? Yeah? So I looked it up and I looked at it and I looked at the context. And the context is actually when he said to be, oh, man of little faith, why don't you believe? If you look at that verse precisely, he's talking to the disciple. And the disciple had been with him all the time. They've seen everything in action. And the context is like, hey, man, you've seen it all, guys, and you're still doubting. That's the context. And I believe his voice was gentle. I believe he was like, come on, guys. You know me. You know me, and you're still not believing. It's a correction for the one who followed him. Okay? So God is not limited to your faith for your own healing. And God cannot be manipulated by your declaration of faith neither. However, faith pleases him and faith honors him because it says, I believe in you, Jesus. I'm expected. I'm relying on you, Jesus. Can you see the dynamic there? Yes? Does it make sense?
Amen.
Yeah? Now, faith is not a good feeling that something's going to happen. Faith is not, oh, I'm just an optimistic person and I know it's going to happen sometime. No. Faith is always in God. Faith is in God. So faith is really the confidence and assurance that God is who he says he is and that his promises are true, although yet we have not seen them.
Hallelujah.
That's what, I mean, you know your Bible, that all of what I've just said is less 5-6 verses, right? Can you see? Faith is in God. So faith, you cannot have faith in God and confidence in who God is and his promises without a revelation from God. So faith ultimately is a gift from God because he is the author and perfecter of our
faith.
You know that verse, right?
Amen.
So faith comes from him. You cannot whip yourself into faith. You cannot. What you could do is seek God. And say, God, give me more faith. Actually, the best prayer is the prayer of the father whose son was a demon possessed in Mark 9 is, I believe, help my unbelief. It's recognizing that we have a measure of faith. We kind of have faith, but we could have more. Can you see what I'm saying? Okay? So, I'm just reading again. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hand on sick people and they will get well. So what we do is we say, Father, give me more faith. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, you will see that faith will help you to believe for things you would not have believed on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 12 and 6 will tell you that we have all received a measure of faith.
Amen.
Okay? That means some people have more than others, but that also means that we can receive more. Yeah? So, faith.
Hallelujah.
That's what does healing. Faith and action.
Hallelujah.
So we push you, God. We ask for faith and greater measure of it. And we get greater measure by walking in what he has already given us.
Amen.
What he has already accomplished. So what can we do? Could we change that slide? Hello. Can you click my slide, my darling? Excellent. So what can we do? What can we do? We start with our little mustard seed. Okay? We know Jesus wants to heal and we take baby step. I mean, some of you are there, some of you are there, some of you have not started, but it doesn't matter. You believe. You're a believer. You're a believer. So you start with your mustard seed. You take step. Since we cannot do anything apart from him, we put our faith in him. Not our feelings. Even when you feel awful, even when you had a terrible week, even when you don't feel faith, if you can say in your heart, Jesus is the healer, that's enough to pray for someone.
Amen.
And that's enough for them to be healed in the name of Jesus, because guess what? It's nothing to do with you. He's the healer. How about that? So, the second thing is, it's an effect of his grace that we have been given authority. We will never be good enough to deserve it. Anointing does not come by good behavior, but in the place of intimacy with him. That's what it says. Read John 15 and 16. Okay? I will call you friend if you love me, if you know me, if you follow my commands. But love. Okay? So we get plugged into him. And then we get the boldness to step out. I do think there's three pillars really that are very important for healing. Well, we're already talking about, spoken about faith and action and obedience. But another one is love. Because how many times you see Jesus moved by compassion for people? You can have all the gifts on earth, but if you don't have love, you are a...
I'm
going to do it. This. That's what happened. Because seriously, if you after success in healing and you do not love people, you will see people as projects.
Amen.
And they're not projects. They're dear children that God has created and need, children that need to find home.
Hallelujah.
They're children that need to find the home of their father.
Amen. Amen.
That's who they are. The most awful person out there with the most horrendous sin in their life is still a child who is lost from home.
Amen.
Who's wandering, who needs the Father.
Amen.
Okay? So remember the triumph we've been coming, you know? We've been looking at this triangle. What we do is we cultivate our communion with God, our intimacy with God. So we know him, we know his voice, we know the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We know when to pray, how to pray, because he will tell us. He will show us, okay? And then we know our identity, so we know who we are. We know we have been given authority to heal the sick. And then we step out on the mission to heal. That's the complete call on your life here, to bring the kingdom. Okay. I want to do two things. First of all, is there anybody, I wrote here, NHS, is there anybody who is actually right now working in the NHS? It could be on the reception desk, it could be as a nurse, it could be as a doctor, it could be as a cleaner, it could be any, please can you stand up for me? I just want to honor you. Stand up, stand up, yeah, there's more, no? I thought there was more.
Amen.
Any capacity. You're working in the hospitals and where the sick are. Okay. Woo! Dying that bastard, you came on a good week. Okay, power cup on here. I just want to encourage you. You are always with the sick, but I want to tell you, God is with you. And your shadow can heal the sick. Sometimes you can't straight away speak about Jesus. Sometimes you have to be professional. Sometimes you know there's a context where you can't. But your shadow can heal the sick.
Amen.
I think you have testimony of people getting better already, right? We say increase Holy Spirit. Let's pray for them.
Amen.
That they would be so full of the presence of God that when they walk the ward, you know, on their watch, the people will get well.
Amen.
On their watch, people are not dying.
Amen.
On their watch, they find solution because Jesus is speaking to them.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray quickly, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we pray, anointing on your people. Anointing on your people. Right now, a greater measure of faith. A greater measure of faith. I pray you will inspire them to think in different ways, to think higher. To think that you are, you to expect you to turn up on the ward, Jesus. I pray for their patients to start having dreams and not understanding their dream and asking them.
Yes.
I pray for solutions, like they would look at the medication and say, oh, that's the wrong medication, it should be something else, I think. We pray, Lord, for wisdom, Holy Spirit wisdom, and we pray for Holy Spirit power. In the name of Jesus, we honor you guys, we love you. And we support you in what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen. We could carry on. I could have all the teachers standing up, and it would be the same prayer. Because it's for everyone. Okay? You have that child in your classroom who is not well, you start to pray.
Amen.
You have that child who cannot learn very well, you say, Jesus, could you show me what it is? What is it that this child cannot function? Is it a bit of dyslexia? Is it a bit? You might be the teacher who spot that. But ask God's wisdom and ask for healing for your children. You're working anywhere, in IT, in, you know, name it. Okay, think about your colleagues. You're walking in your work environment. You bring in God's presence. Okay, so guess what? This morning we have a little bit of time, so we're going to practice. So I'm going to look at my last slide, please. It's going to come. Ta-da! Ta-da! There we go. So we heal the sick. So let's give me out. This is not really such a method. It's just more like a way he helps. It's just to help you.
Amen.
Let's practice that this morning. That's what I want. My heart is to go after the sickness this morning. So what method should we use? I tell you what, there's no method because Jesus did all sorts. Okay, he put his finger in his, he took mud. Sometimes he spoke, sometimes he said something, sometimes he said. So I think he did that in purpose so that we wouldn't put our confidence in a method, but in him. Honestly, that's why we don't need massive theology about that. You know, healing. Keep it simple.
Amen.
Keep it simple. This is what I do when I want to pray for the sick. First of all, I found out about their sickness. So you don't need to pray for a revelation, right? You could just ask the person, say, oh, so what's going on? What's your pain? And let them tell you what they're suffering with. However, I never want to hear the whole medical diagnosis and prognostic and histories, because by the time there's 10 minutes of that, I'm like, my faith is like, yeah, all right, okay, right. So I like knowing, but then I want to focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, because I'm still human. I'm very human. Actually, I'm just all human. Okay, so that's what I do. I find out, okay? Then I ask permission.
Hallelujah.
This is about the dignity of people.
Amen.
Okay? Ask permission to pray and lay the hand on the sick.
Hallelujah.
You don't grab people. I mean, if you know the person enough, you know enough Sinead, I know I can just pray for Sinead. She's going to say, of course you can.
Hallelujah.
If you know the person enough, that's fine. But if you do not know the person very well, do ask permission and be sensitive and appropriate.
Beautiful.
Okay? So be mindful of gender. Don't put hands where you shouldn't put hands.
Amen.
Okay? Keep to shoulders. Keep to, you know. Often if people, like, for example, if a lady said to me, oh, my tummy is sick, I don't want to invade this person. So I say, oh, put your hand. So I say, put your hand on your tummy. And I say, is that okay to put my hand there? Be sensitive, appropriate, okay? Because you love the person first. Yeah. If you pray, but that person will go away and had a terrible experience, you praying, you dishonor God, really. Think about it. But if you love that person well, even if they go away, and say they're not healed that time, they will still trust you to pray again.
Beautiful.
Isn't it true?
Amen.
Now, third one is very hard for you guys. Very hard. Very hard for everybody. Use an authoritative prayer. Okay? Because we've heard it, Jesus has already died on the cross to heal us from our disease. And he said, go and heal the sick. So we shouldn't go. I'm not saying you won't answer your prayer. Okay? Because again, it's not about the method, it's about the authority God has given you in his name. All right? So the prayer should be authoritative. It should be something like, be healed in Jesus' name. You know, I pray for diabetes to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because he's given me the authority over sickness and disease, so there's no need to say, Jesus, please, 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 and beg him for healing. No, he wants to heal. He's already there. He's waiting for you. He goes, come on, in Jesus' name. I'm imagining Jesus like that in heaven, you know, like, come on, Jesus' name, I'm waiting. You get the point, right?
Amen.
We have his hand and feet. So we pray the authoritative prayer. And it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard because you're thinking, the person's going to think, who do you think you are? You know, there's this kind of wrestling in us. And we kind of tend to go, oh, but it's about God. It's true. And I'm not saying you can't get healed if you say, oh, Jesus, please pray for this. Because he sees still through it all.
Beautiful.
Okay? But I'm teaching you to heal the sick.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Now, encourage people to test their body if it's possible. That means if there was a pain somewhere, you ask them, how do you feel right now? Is it better or not? Okay? If it's better, the answer is praise. The answer is thank you, God. If it's better but not 100% better, you pray for more. You say, thank you, Jesus. We love you. We're so grateful for what you've already done. We want more. Yeah, and you pray again. If they're not healed, you pray again. That's what you do.
Amen.
Okay? And now, the last thing I do is, there's an aftercare in that. There should be an aftercare. Okay? So it's very important, if you're not healed, it's not having less faith than to be honest and say you're not healed. Okay? So if Hash has got a bad leg, and I pray for Hash, and at the end, we both had faith, but he's not healed. It's important for Ash to not deny he's not healed, because healing starts with a diagnosis. If he says, hallelujah, yes, I'm healed, but he's still like, hallelujah. I mean, I'm not going to pray again, right? So it's important to recognize it's not healed yet. God still wants to heal him. I do believe. We are still going to believe God can heal him. We're still going to fight on that.
Amen.
We're going to encourage Ash. We're going to say, I'm so sorry your leg is. Because mostly you love him. You want him to be well.
Amen.
Can you see what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean he has less faith if he's turning around and say, I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm still in pain.
Amen.
Actually, that's the beginning of his healing because he's admitted he needs Jesus.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many Christian circles where people are pretending they're healed. Because they think they're going to be condemned. That somebody say, oh, if you're not healed, it's because you don't have faith. It's a catastrophic error. So there's a bit of an aftercare there. My brother could have 100% faith. Absolutely. 100% faith. But for whatever reason, he's not. There's always a little bit of mystery for when is the healing coming. Okay? But I'm going to encourage his faith, and I'm going to believe for his healing. Because the belief is with me.
Yeah.
We've seen that. Does it make sense to you?
Amen.
Yeah? Now, another thing is, if you know that you have been touched by God, and something has started to get better, it is true that you have to grasp the healing. Because often the enemy will send you some kind of symptoms and try to trick you in believing it's not happened. Okay? So so my aftercare in that is, do you know what? In the week, just still say, Jesus, I know you did something. I praise you. I worship you. I believe you are the healer. That's the aftercare. That's what you do. You position yourself in your healing. Okay. Right. Are you ready to heal the sick? Are you ready? Let's all stand up.